You're listening to NBC Sports Radio, and this is Pro Football Talk Live with Mike Florio, where every day is game day.
Let's go get it.
Oh, three, one, two, three.
Now, here's your host, Mike Florio.
It's PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio as I get in one last text message here before we get rolling. Send button engaged. And off we go. Three full hours. One day before the start of free agency, kind of, sort of, the negotiating window that opened Saturday resulted in all hell breaking loose on Sunday. Plenty of deals reportedly done, although not officially done. We're going to do something ambitious here. We're going to try to bring, and key word is try, bring in a guest who covers every NFL team, including the Raiders, and get the latest on what they're planning to do, what they are doing, what they will do, what they won't do in rapid fire fashion is the word I was looking for. One division per segment throughout this 12-segment program. And let's start with Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald. The biggest fish in free agency is about to become an aquatic mammal. At this point, Armando, any reason to think Ndamukong Suh won't be a member of the Dolphins by tomorrow night?
There's no reason to think not, Mike. But as you know, according to the NFL, any attempt to undermine the purpose of this negotiating period may be considered conduct detrimental to the league. And so, therefore, the Dolphins are saying that they still do not have a deal with Ndamukong Suh.
How did this get out then yesterday? Chris Mortensen, Mort Report on Twitter, reported that the deal is done. Is this just the Dolphins being discreet?
The deal is done, and everyone in the NFL knows it, and it's clear that barring Ndamukong Suh freaking out as someone hands him a very expensive pen and sits him down to sign the contract, he is going to be a Miami Dolphin.
Real quickly, Jared Odrick to Jacksonville or Oakland, what are you hearing?
Jacksonville, no state taxes.
Makes sense. And also, Charles Clay, will he be a Dolphin or is he heading elsewhere?
Well, they've put the transition tag on him. He's free to shop, and they have a right of first refusal. They do not have, however, any compensation coming to them. I keep hearing the Buffalo Bills are interested. I don't know if that's going to happen now that they've got Shady McCoy on board.
Well, there's a good way for me to find out, Armando. I'm going to thank you, and I'm going to move on to Vic Carucci of the Buffalo News as we continue through the AFC East, all the latest news as free agency approaches. Vic, you broke the news of Jerry Hughes, defensive end, re-signing with the Bills. How big of a surprise is that one?
A little bit, because pass rushers command top dollar in the market. There was a lot of competition for him, upwards of six other teams very interested in signing him. The Bills were aggressive, though, even after not wanting to put that nearly $15 million franchise tag on him. They stayed aggressive, but they also had this going for him. Hughes wanted to stay with the Bills. He wants to be on that line with three other Pro Bowlers, Mario Williams and Marcel Darius and Kyle Williams, and he wants to play for Rex Ryan.
As we continue with Vic Carucci of the Buffalo News, the bigger news over the past week has been the acquisition of running back LeSean McCoy. You told us last week maybe Shady was a little bit concerned about going to Buffalo. A new contract in $16 million for 2015 makes those concerns go away. How long do you think this five-year deal is actually going to play out?
Well, with a running back, of course, I think you have the shortest shelf life. So to say that it would play itself out completely would be highly inaccurate. I think the view on McCoy is a couple of really good prime years left in him. So I think for the next two seasons or so, you're looking at that as being him being a Buffalo Bill. Possibly you could get to the third, but he'd be about 30 years old then, and I think that's usually the magic age when the gas tank gets empty for running backs. But this is a more cap-friendlier deal than it might appear. He is going to get upwards of $16 million in money, guaranteed money, for this year. But as far as how it's amortized and the length of the deal, it does fit pretty well under the Bills' cap.
Yeah, ultimately an $8 million a year contract, even with that $16 million factored in for this year. Wrapping up with Vic Carucci, the Buffalo News, GM Doug Whaley said today when asked, will there be more to come, he said, wait and see. What do you think is next for the Bills?
Yeah, I think they go into looking at offensive guard, which is a high priority. The draft does give them some possibilities there, but I think they look very hard at the free agent market, where a guy like a Brian Bulaga or a Mike Iupati could be available, or are people that they would probably look to target right off the bat. And I was listening to the tail end of your conversation with Armando Segarra, and yeah, the transition tag on Charles Clay. I had reported from the combine that he was somebody that the Bills have definitely looked at the tight end position. They want to get a playmaker there. They think he has those skills, and it's been reported that, you know, they'd be a team that would probably put in an offer. Of course, Miami can match that, and I think at the very least what you might do as a divisional rival is force one of your opponents to pay more money than they'd want to pay for any of their players.
Thanks, Vic. Great stuff as always. We'll be talking to you again soon. Let's now go to Manish Mehta, New York Daily News, to talk New York Jets. And Percy Harvin, I reported yesterday, is expected to be released today. Any reason to believe that he won't be?
No, but he's going to be gone. It'll be interesting to see what he gets out on the open market, because I think you had said as well that a short-term deal with a team that has an elite quarterback probably makes the most sense for Percy Harvin, so maybe he can get that multi-year deal. If he puts up some big numbers this year, he can get that multi-year deal on the open market next year. But I don't think it makes much sense for him to take a massive pay cut and come back to the Jets. If you're going to do something like that and get less, why not go to a team that has an established quarterback?
He's Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News, reporting earlier today that if and when, i.e. when, Ryan Fitzpatrick is cut by the Texans, he could be the next quarterback of the Jets. Good move or bad move?
Well, it's probably the best move given their options. They're not going to solve the quarterback situation overnight. There's no stars out there in free agency, as we all know. So Fitzpatrick's a guy that Chan Gailey, of course, is very familiar with. When he was the head coach in Buffalo, Mike Maccagnan knows Ryan Fitzpatrick from last year in Houston. So it's a stable veteran guy. You want to bring in some competition for Geno Smith. And when you look at what's available, he's probably a solid of an option, in a pretty watered-down class as you're going to get.
He's Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News. Okay, the big name, even though he's currently under contract with the Patriots, he may not be tomorrow, cornerback Darrell Revis. Is it Jets versus Patriots? Is there a chance the Jets would put an offer on the table that would get Revis to say no thank you to another season or more with New England?
Well, I do think it is going to come down to New England or the Jets. Obviously, New England can make it a moot point if they come really strong, but is there a possibility he can come to the Jets? Absolutely. And if the Jets offer something that is clearly better and more than New England, then he would seriously entertain the Jets. And that's been my understanding all along. And what that number is $16 million annually. And what the fully guaranteed money is, and Mike, you know this well as anybody, that's what really what matters to players. What's the fully guaranteed money over the first 3 years? If it comes in around $40 million, I think he could be a Jet, but if the money is equal, he will absolutely go back to the Patriots.
Great stuff, Manish. And now we're going to turn to a guy who may know a thing or two about Darrell Revis' future with New England. He's Tom Curran of CSN New England. Tom, I would say we saved the best for last, but, you know. What's up with Revis?
Well, I think there's some cautious optimism here. Good momentum for the Patriots, or from the Patriots' point of view, built last night in getting Devin McCourty under contract. And, you know, as Manish was just referring to, it's all about that guaranteed money. And with McCourty, while he took less, perhaps, than he could have commanded overall, he did get a very sizable guaranteed amount of money, $28.5 million. So that's really what it will come down to with Darrell, I think, and the Patriots. The deadline is tomorrow, 3:59. And, Mike, you've been the one to indicate that there is a chance the Patriots, if they picked up that $20 million salary, which we'll see how much gymnastics they would have to do to fit that under, but if they picked it up, Darrell would play under that basically franchise-plus number, albeit unhappily. I think a lot of work is being done today and a lot of sussing out exactly what the offers are and what the guaranteed money will be on both sides, because the witching hour is nigh.
Hey, Tom, I agree with you. We're going to have something sooner rather than later, because it can't be much later. Tomorrow is the deadline. Anything else the Patriots are planning? Specifically, if Percy Harvin, when Percy Harvin inevitably is cut by the Jets, could he be a member of the Patriots in 2015?
he is such a high-ticket guy, and I know that you've mentioned that a number of times, but when you look at what the Patriots' offense is like at this point, they have a top-tier tight end. They have one of the best, if not the best, slot corners. And they're really not an outside receiver type offense. And I know Percy Harvin moves all around, but I hate to say this, but he'd almost be redundant to other players they already have. Additionally, he's a bit of a headache, and he'd be expensive. I don't know if he's a guy that they could shop for. Brian Hartline, remember that name? Patriots have shown interest, and there is also some cap shaving they may have to do with Danny Amendola if Amendola balks. Maybe he goes out and you could see a guy like Brian Hartline come in. I think that's a very remote possibility. I think that they would probably be able to work something out prior to that, but I do know the Patriots are interested in Brian Hartline.
Thomas, great stuff, buddy. We'll be checking you out on Twitter and at csnnewengland.com. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
And that's the AFC East. Only seven divisions to go as we rocket through 3 hours, getting you the latest on every NFL team. We started with the most intriguing division in the NFL, the AFC East, which has plenty of cross-pollination, plus a couple of new arrivals in the form of LeSean McCoy and, most likely, Ndamukong Suh. Welcome back to PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio, one day away from the official start of free agency. What we're trying to do here today is give you the latest on every NFL team. We started the show with the AFC East. Let's jump conferences and point in a different geographic direction, head to the NFC North, and we'll start in Detroit, where their cornerstone defensive player is on his way out the door. Dave Burkett of the Detroit Free Press joins us now. Who's going to replace Ndamukong Suh?
That's the million-dollar question, or the $114 million question, or whatever, I guess, right now, Mike. It's look, they need two defensive tackles. They'd like to bring Nick Fairley back. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. There's obviously concerns about his health, his injury history. Dan Williams is a name I've heard. I think they'd like to pair him with whoever they play at the three technique. He's a nose tackle, more of a run stuffer. I'd keep an eye on him as free agency plays out the next 24 hours.
He's Dave Burkett of the Detroit Free Press. Any chance Sue comes to his senses, as an unnamed Lions source suggested to ESPN yesterday?
Yeah, I think he did come to his senses, and that's why he took the $114 million and went to South Beach. I mean, can't really fault him for doing that. And look, I know that he strongly considered the Lions, no matter what the narrative is out there, that he didn't want to play for them. He had a strong relationship with Jim Caldwell. The Lions were just late to the game with making their best offer, which was $2 million short of what the Dolphins offered. And so Ndamukong is off to South Beach.
Wrapping up with Dave Burkett of the Detroit Free Press. Why don't the Lions just come out and say, look, we got into this problem because we had high draft picks at a time when these guys got ridiculous contracts. We held it together as long as we could. We just got to the point where we couldn't hold it together any longer.
Yeah, you know, I'm anxious to finally get the chance to talk to Martin Mayhew and Tom Milland about on the record about some of these things. They've been quiet since at least they've made their statements about having the faith and the confidence that Ndamukong was coming back. And look, I think there's no doubt that they, you know, some of the salary cap hell that they were in was their own creation, but a lot of it had to do with some of those early first round picks. And, you know, having three cornerstone players making that much money was a tough thing to do. And obviously they just felt that it was not worth that much money at the end of the day.
Great stuff as always, Dave. We'll talk to you again soon. Now, from an NFC North team with three cornerstone players to a team with none, the Chicago Bears. John Mullen of CSN Chicago joins us now. Will Pernell McPhee become a cornerstone player for the Bears, John?
Well, that's what they're counting on. I think it's they're hoping to catch another Willie Young Lightning in a defensive scheme here. A guy who has not been a starter but was incredibly productive or with impact coming off the bench. So, you know, 7.5 sacks. They also give themselves some flexibility in the draft. The desperation for an edge rusher of some sort, it doesn't disappear, but it goes down a little bit.
He's John Mullen of CSN Chicago. Brandon Marshall's out. Speculation continues about Jay Cutler. Is he going to follow, or will he be a Bear?
No, it will still be the shock of the millennium here if he's not a Bear. They'll listen to trades, but there's really not that many teams that are willing to take on a $15.5 million salary, which will also commit you to $10 million already in 2016. So there are just simply no better options either. So unless you're willing to basically sacrifice the end of Matt Forte and a few other players, it would make no sense to make the deal.
He's John Mullen of CSN Chicago. I noticed some speculation on Twitter yesterday that when Percy Harvin is cut by the Jets, he could land in Chicago. I could see why John Fox would want him after seeing what Percy Harvin did to the Broncos in Super Bowl 48. Any chance that they'd be interested? Any chance Harvin would be interested in them?
Yeah, a long shot. I mean, some of the Bears are familiar with him, just obviously from the time with Minnesota. But the part of the motivation, or a large part of the motivation with the Brandon Marshall deal, was kind of a lack of focus. And I don't know that anybody would say Percy Harvin increases the focus in your locker room. You know, you rule nothing out in a couple of bounces. But again, there's reasons why guys get traded and they bounce from team to team. That would be a long shot, just knowing the character quotient that the Bears are looking for. Again, I hard to know from a distance what Percy Harvin is, but he's not, on the outside, the kind of guy that the Bears are looking for.
Great stuff as always, John. We'll talk to you again soon. Now we go north from Chicago to Minneapolis. Chris Thomason of the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Chris, everybody wants to know what Adrian Peterson's going to do. What do you know?
Hour number two of the program, PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. Ambitious assignment for Monday. I only had to think of it. I didn't have to go out and line up 32 different guests. Yes, you heard me correctly. 32 different guests for a three-hour window to get you the latest on every NFL team with free agency roughly 27 hours away. Is my math right? 27 hours away. 4 o'clock Eastern time on Tuesday is when it opens. NFC East is the focal point of this segment. Let's start with America's team, which usually makes about 78% of America upset when I say that. Dallas Cowboys. Clarence Hill covers them for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Clarence, what's going to happen with DeMarco Murray?
Man, that is the question. It's eerily quiet on the DeMarco Murray front in the first 2 days of the agency. I guess not the first 2 days, but the first 2 days of this tampering period. It seems like the running back market is the money is there that we didn't think was going to be there for guys like Marshawn Lynch or LeSean McCoy. And you would think that Murray is licking his chops and thinking it's going to be there for him. But so far, nothing. We've heard nothing. Certainly the Cowboys want him back. They've done their homework. They just have a price that they don't want to go above.
Do we know what that price is?
We don't know what that price is. You know, the funny thing is I think the price was different before the combine, and it's probably changed today. I don't think anybody saw the money that's out there right now for running backs, and we certainly didn't see this coming.
He's Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Give me the one team, if he doesn't come to the Cowboys, what's the one team that you think he'd end up with?
I would think the Colts. That's the team with the biggest need is running back, and his team, the team that's certainly ready to win now, he certainly could help put them over the top. What they're doing with their quarterback and Luck, and certainly he's a guy who can protect the passer as well as catch the ball out the backfield and give them a much-needed boost in the running game.
He's Clarence Hill, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Jeremy Parnell, right tackle, heading to Jacksonville. How big of a loss for the Cowboys' line?
It's not a big loss because he was really the backup to Doug Free. They signed Doug Free on Saturday to shore up that line and bring back the starters from last year. Parnell had 5 starts last year in the regular season, 2 starts in the playoffs, and replaced with an injured Doug Free. Certainly has a lot of upside. The Cowboys thought all along he would have a bigger free agent market because he's younger and because of that upside, but they are happy with Free. He's proven, and you know, he's really keeps that line. He's the leader in there because he's the oldest guy in the offensive line, so they're happy.
Any names out there to keep an eye on? Somebody who may arrive? Greg Hardy's name's been percolating.
No, Stephen Paya. I guess I'm saying it right. Out of Chicago, this is a guy that they're looking at someone like that. But, you know, the Greg Hardy thing, that's going to be down the line. The Cowboys are not going to spend a lot of money in free agency. They do it only to go to DeMarco Murray and possibly Dez Bryant. But they're not going to spend a lot of money on the outside guys. And, you know, and so they're kind of sitting out this first wave. And you'll see them, you know, try to add some players like they did last year with Mincy in the second wave. And he was a key player for them last year.
You got it right with Paya. I always get it wrong and say paella, and then I make myself hungry. Thanks, Clarence. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
No problem, man. Thank you.
Up next, CSN Phillies' Jeff Mosher on the team that everybody is talking about, the Philadelphia Eagles. Should they just name the team the Chip Kellys because, or at least change the ownership? I think that's what it comes down to. It's clearly his team now.
Oh, my God. I'm actually thinking he is the owner at this point. I think Jeffrey Lurie might be working for him. Yeah, it's clearly his team, Mike. I mean, he's putting his blueprint on it. It started before free agency. He started gutting the roster, which most people thought was an attempt to build up cap space for free agency. But viewed in retrospect, what it is, it was just Chip Kelly starting to make this roster in Chip Kelly's vision. And the byproduct of that, the pleasant one, was having all that cap space.
He's Jeff Mosher of CSN Philly. How far out on a limb is Chip Kelly going with this experiment? DeSean Jackson gone, LeSean McCoy gone, Jeremy Maclin gone, fans getting restless. What does he have to do to avoid a revolt?
Well, he's got to replace these guys. Now, he was able to have Maclin replace DeSean. He just brought in Frank Gore. He's going to go to a committee, which I believe will be a good ground game with Polk and Sproles and Frank Gore, and they may draft a running back. But clearly what he has to do is build that receiving core back. And whether it's Josh Huff and Jordan Matthews taking a step up, whether they get a veteran like Andre Johnson to come in when he's released, or maybe if Dwayne Bowe is released, and then also go in the draft and get a receiver, it's another strong draft. But people are going to lose their faith in Chip, and right now there's a lot of faith in Chip, but they will lose it if he does not put out an offense that has matched what the last two offenses have done.
Last one for Jeff Mosher of CSN Philly. Does what Chip Kelly's done this past weekend make it more likely or less likely he moves up to get Marcus Mariota?
Depends on what day of the week it is, Mike. honestly, I wake up every day thinking one or the other. He gave so much money to Mark Sanchez that makes you think that he wants Mark Sanchez to be more than just the backup, maybe a groomer for a young quarterback the way Andy Reid did with Doug Peterson and Donovan McNabb many moon ago. But with Chip, you just never know what's going on in his head. I mean, I've had feelers out there that people think that it's going to be Foles and Sanchez battling it out again in training camp. So we'll see.
Great stuff, Jeff. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy. Now we're going to head down I-95 or up I-95. I don't know. Which way is it, Bob Glauber of Newsday? Is it up or down I-95 to get to New York?
It's up, my man. It's up.
Well, now that we have the compass configured, what's the Giants' compass when free agency begins?
It's quiet. I tell you, it's the diametrically opposed vibe to last year when Jerry Reese went kind of crazy in free agency. This year, it's an exercise in kind of watching the names go by. The guys they were interested, Jerry Hughes, defensive end for Buffalo, Devin McCourty, safety from the Patriots, Pernell McPhee, pass rusher, goes to the Bears from the Ravens. So this is going to be a very quiet free agency period from the Giants. Couple of names to keep in mind, Brandon Graham, the defensive end, probably not going to go back to Philadelphia, and Ron Parker, the safety from the Chiefs, who is kind of a versatile guy and younger than Entrell Rolle. But I got to tell you, you know, it may come back down to Entrell Rolle. You know, Ron Parker is not familiar with the Giants. Entrell Rolle is certainly still a capable free safety. Doesn't have the range that he used to have. But, you know, it's not a bad alternative to have in your back pocket.
He's Bob Glauber of Newsday. Last week, the Giants made news by putting the franchise tag on defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul. Chances of a long-term deal, or is this just another one-year Band-Aid for Pierre-Paul to stay in town?
You know, Mike, I think it's really 50-50 right now. I think if the numbers are right, the Giants would certainly like to have Jason Pierre-Paul under contract for a long time, and it's really going to be up to Pierre-Paul. I think that Pierre-Paul values himself a little bit higher, maybe even a lot higher, than the Giants are willing to pay right now. So I don't think there'll be anything immediately. But once those deadlines comes, once training camp comes, once the regular season comes, and even late in the season, Jerry Reese has done deals to extend players that he wants to be franchise cornerstone players. But right now, I don't see any movement on that anytime soon. The Giants absolutely desperately need a pass rusher, and Jason Pierre-Paul right now is that guy. They need to add to it, though.
Last one for Bob Glauber of Newsday. Speaking of franchise cornerstone players, Eli Manning, final year of his contract. Any chance they extend him and maybe create some cap space for 2015?
Mike, I think that they will extend him. It's a matter of when, and I think the smart money would be sometime either before or during this season. It's hard to kind of let it go deadline-wise, and I think Eli Manning would be comfortable. He has done that before. He's extended his contract before it's up. It would create cap room, but it would also create a comfort level that the Giants have him for a longer period of time, and they still believe that at age 33, he still has several good years left. So I think that Eli Manning will be a Giant, certainly this year and for several more years to come.
Great stuff, pal. We'll talk to you again soon. And now we go down I-95 to Washington. It is down I-95 this time. CSN Washington's Rich Tandler joins the program. Rich, I see some buzz about Stephen Paya possibly landing in Washington. What do you know?
Yeah, that's our Chicago, or CSN at Chicago, is reporting that they are closing in. Now, what that means these days, for the next 24 hours or so, how certain that is, we're not really sure. But looks like he would probably play defensive end in the 3-4 scheme and then maybe slide into nose tackle on passing downs. But looks like they said a four-year deal. Looks like that, you know, we'll probably get, you know, pretty good chance of that getting done, I'd say.
He's Rich Tandler of CSN Washington. What else are we looking for the team to do with Scott McLuhan now pulling the strings at the GM position?
You know, that's, I wrote on CSNWashington.com this morning, just kind of trying to figure out what he, you know, how he's going to handle free agency. Pretty much going back, Charlie Casserly, you know, Dan Snyder, Vinny Serrato, Mike Shanahan, Bruce Allen have all handled it pretty much the same. You know, McLuhan is coming in, promising to build through the draft. So I think what they're going to do, just generally big picture, is try to get in guys to help them be competitive. They're not going to go for free agents to help them win a Super Bowl. They want guys who can help them stay competitive while they, you know, while they build through the draft. They haven't drafted real well lately. They've hit on some guys, and they've got a lot of catching up to do. So I think to fill those holes in the short term, they're going to sign some guys, younger guys, kind of like Pia, you know, coming off his first contract, kind of like rookie Jean-Francois, who they signed a couple of weeks ago after the Colts cut him loose. So, you know, I think we'll see more guys like that. You know, nobody breathed the Redskins in connection with Ndamukong Suh or Jeremy Maclin or any of these big-name guys that were out there.
Last one for Rich Tandler of CSN Washington. If, hypothetically, if GM Scott McLuhan shows up at Oregon's Pro Day this week, ostensibly to take a look at quarterback Marcus Mariota, will that spark speculation that the team would be inclined to take Mariota if he's on the board when they use their first-round pick since the last time they gave up three of them to get RG3?
Well, you know, sure it would. You know, there's no question in this day and age that it would. But, you know, I would think also he wants to look at him to, you know, just to, A, you know, have the act up, you know, show that he might be interested in taking him. So if he does want to trade the pick, they know that they, you know, that they can't for sure wait until the Jets are picking. And then second, maybe scout him out and say, hey, look, if I do make a blockbuster deal with the Eagles, how bad can this guy hurt me? You know, what will it take? You know, how good can this guy be in this system? Get a close up look at that. So I think there could be a number of motivations for going for McLuhan going to Oregon's Pro Day.
Great stuff as always, Rich. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, that's the NFC East. Three divisions down. We've got five more to go. We'll get them all done before the end of the program. When we return, I want to talk about one of the more bizarre rumors I've heard recently. But at the same time, I mean, I haven't heard the rumor. Somebody else reported it. But at the same time, the more I think about it, boy, it kind of makes a little bit of sense. We'll talk what the 49ers may be doing next after the break. This is PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Radio is built by the Home Depot. Let's do floors that impress for less. The Home Depot has quality tile, carpet, laminate, hardwood, and vinyl flooring, all at guaranteed low prices. Don't worry about the installation. The Home Depot also offers start-to-finish installation by flooring professionals who will get the job done right. Visit homedepot.com/flooring for details. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Okay, we've been working our way through every NFL division to get you the latest news on each team as it relates to free agency, which begins 4 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday. Up next, AFC North. Let's start in the city where the defending AFC North champion resides, Pittsburgh. Ed Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joins us now. Ed, what's Troy Polamalu going to do?
He obviously is undecided, because if he were going to retire by now, he would have done it. I think if you've seen the statement by GM Kevin Colbert today, it's kind of mysterious, but it looks like they're trying to maybe prod him a little bit by not doing anything with him and just having him linger until he decides he will retire.
We've seen this movie 3 years ago when Hines Ward retired after being cut, because apparently Hines thought he would still be able to play with another team, want to play with another team. I think Hines ultimately realized, I could never put on a different helmet. Are the Steelers just hoping that Polamalu comes to that conclusion without them having to cut him?
Yes, I truly believe that, Mike. And you know, there's always the chance they're trying to get his salary down to $1 or $2 million over, you know, he's supposed to make $6 million, but I don't see that. He's really not nearly the player he was. And they have a young guy they want to play at that position, Shamarco Thomas. So, but if they don't cut him now, I mean, people start signing free agents and Troy is still part of their team. He can't sign anywhere. So, you know how fast those, that stuff dries up. Teams are going to move on and find a safety somewhere else who might want to sign him.
He's Ed Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Usually the drying up happens because other teams are making the big signings. Any reason to think the Steelers are going to go out and splurge on anyone in this free agency period?
Well, they don't have a lot of money to splurge. They can create some, though, and they need an outside linebacker, Mike. I mean, Jason Worlds is expected to leave. They have not been able to sign him, one of their own, which is what they wanted to do, but now they can't. It just does, seems he's intent on going out in a free agency and will sign elsewhere. They only have one. Jarvis Jones, their first-round pick 2 years ago, who has been hurt and hasn't played much, is the only outside linebacker under contract. So they're in a kind of a fix here, kind of a pickle, and they need to go out and get some kind of outside linebacker, whether that's bringing James Harrison back and Arthur Motes and, you know, just finding someone else.
And Motes has said via Twitter that he's going to stay in Pittsburgh. Give me one number, 0 to 100%. That Ben Roethlisberger has a new contract before week one?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, wow.
Before week one of the regular season?
Yeah.
I have no doubt that they're going to sign it.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks for some of your time. And now we move from Pittsburgh over to Cincinnati. I guess that's down the Ohio River. I grew up in this area. I should know. Yes, it is. Paul Daner of the Cincinnati Inquirer joins us now. Why all of a sudden is everybody interested in safety Taylor Mays?
That's a good question. Well, I think it starts with Mike Zimmer, who really liked him. And, you know, he's this new school hybrid safety linebacker guy that's so valuable. The Bengals really found a niche for him in that role where no one really previously in the league could sort of find out what this guy who's an athletic freak can really do, where he fits. And I think they feel like they found it. Mike Zimmer knows that he can do it. And Minnesota looking for someone in that type of role, I think maybe started a bit of a trend there because the Bengals have a backlog. They already have a couple of guys that can do that, namely starter Emmanuel Lenure, who really is the premier in their Bengals' eyes as far as the hybrid safety linebacker position goes.
And speaking about linebackers with Paul Daner of the Cincinnati Inquirer, A.J. Hawk drawing some interest from the Bengals. What's the chances he lands in Cincinnati?
Pretty good. I mean, when the Bengals started off this offseason, they had to do something about their linebacker room, which just got decimated. I mean, last year at one point, they pulled Nico Johnson off the Kansas City Chiefs practice squad, and he was starting 2 weeks later. Their depth, this was nowhere near what they thought it was. They re-signed Ray Mahaluga. They put a second-round tender on Emmanuel Lemire to make sure he wasn't going anywhere. And they also wanted to add another veteran and then draft somebody in the first 2 days of that draft. So A.J. Hawk would be an ideal fit. He's an Ohio guy. He's got roots here. A vet that could come in, compete, possibly start, because the bottom line is, microfracture surgery, like you have with Vontaze Burfict, leaves everybody knowing that they better have a pretty darn good backup plan in place in case he can't go or ends up on a PUP list or something like that.
Great stuff, Paul. Thanks for some of your time. And now we're going to go up and over north and east to Cleveland. Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer joining us now. What do the Browns have planned when it comes time to spend all that money that they have?
Well, you know what? Right now they have Trent Cole in. They're finishing up a visit with Trent Cole. He obviously has a lot of other really good options. So I think if the Browns are going to land him, they'd have to actually overpay him. So I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off. He is from Ohio. They could use a pass rusher. And the defensive staff here is pretty impressive. So we'll see if they can pull it off.
A lot of questions about the receiver position. Any plans to address it in free agency?
You know what? Right now, I really don't see that happening. I think they'll probably go more for one in the draft. They've got the 12 and the 19 overall picks. If they don't package those for a Marcus Mariota, which I still think they could do, then I think they'll look at a receiver with one of those.
Jordan Cameron, most likely out at tight end. If he's gone, who replaces him?
Well, they're going to look at Ed Dixon. I think they'll also draft a tight end. They've had James Casey through here for a visit. And, you know, I keep thinking that, you know, maybe they'll make some kind of a pitch for Charles Clay, see if they might want to make him an offer, even though he has the transition tag on him.
Thanks as always, Mary Kay. And now we're going to continue from Cleveland to Baltimore, just like the path that the Ravens once took 20 years ago. Clifton Brown covers the Ravens for CSN Baltimore. Clifton, looks like Torrey Smith is out. How will the Ravens replace their deep threat?
I think one thing to look for quickly, Mike, is for them to add a veteran or wide receiver who might be a cap casualty, maybe an Andre Johnson or Dwayne Bowe. Ravens had a lot of good history doing that with Derek Mason, Steve Smith in the past. So I think that's one route they'll look to take. They'll be looking hard for a wide receiver who fits the big body red zone threat wide receiver that they're looking for.
Running back Justin Forsett hitting the market after 1,200-plus yards last year with the Ravens. What's the chances that he's re-signed for a second season and beyond?
I think the chances are good, and the Ravens want to do that, and I think Forsett wants to come back. The only danger, obviously, is that he hears an offer from someone else he can't refuse, and there will be a market for Forsett once free agency starts. But I think the Ravens have a better chance of keeping him than losing him, and I think the importance of keeping him has been raised now. With Torrey Smith obviously out the door.
He's Clifton Brown of CSN Baltimore. Why aren't the Ravens all over DeMarco Murray?
You know, I think that's an interesting question, Mike, but I think that he just simply doesn't fit the Ravens' MO of paying too much for a guy, or in their opinion, too much. I think they feel the price tag's going to be too high, and they're still trying to figure out if they can rework the deals of Lodi Nine and Ladarius Webb to create more salary cap room. And if they can't do that, I think that they feel Maurice Murray would be out of ballpark. But I think he'd be a great back running. Well, he already is a great back, but running behind the Ravens offensive line, I think that'd be a great fit. But I don't think that it's going to happen.
If they can't work out deals with Nada or Webb, or is either guy in danger of being cut?
Nada for sure will be cut. There's no way he's playing for $16 million against the cap next year. Webb, I think, has a better chance of staying because his number is lower and the Ravens are so thin at quarterback. But if they can't reach a deal with Webb, it's not out of the question he'd be cut. But I think Nod is definitely gone if they can't reach an agreement. Webb, I think, will be back.
Great stuff as always, Clifton, and we'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right, when we come back, it's AFC South time. Every team gets someone who covers that team to give us the latest. We'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. Final segment, hour number two on today's PFT Live, and we have to move quickly. Heartbreak coming up at the top of the hour. AFC South time as we get you ready for free agency. Let's go straight to Houston. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle covering the team. Some moves at quarterback, John. Who's the starter going to be in 2015?
Mike, I'm going to guess it's going to be Brian Hoyer, although they say Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer will compete equally. But Bill O'Brien spent 3 years with Hoyer in New England. The quarterback coach, George Godfrey, was with him as well. But if Ryan Mallett plays the way he played in the Cleveland game last year, he's going to keep that job.
When does Andre Johnson get cut?
I would think they got to do it before 3 o'clock tomorrow. Could be any time. He'll go to a team, gives him a chance to go to the Super Bowl and play with a great quarterback. And they need a wide receiver, and they're going to lose, it looks like, Brooks Reed, their outside linebacker. So those would be their two biggest needs. Everybody here knows they need a big-time quarterback, but they're not in there's not a good chance to get one this offseason.
Great stuff, John. Thanks as always. And now we're going to head up to Indianapolis, where Bob Kravitz covers the Colts for WTHR. Bob, what's the plan at running back with Frank Gore heading to Philly? Who's available for the Colts to sign? And Bob Kravitz has dropped. We'll get Bob Kravitz back unless we have Jim Wyatt ready. Otherwise, I'll talk about what's happening with the Indianapolis Colts. What's happening with the Colts is Frank Gore is gone, and there is a possibility that they will make a run at DeMarco Murray. It would make some sense at a certain level. What I keep hearing about Murray, though, is other teams believe that the Cowboys are right, that he's a product of the system, that he's not going to go somewhere else and have 1,800-plus rushing yards per year. But the Colts need to get better on the defensive side of the ball. While we wait for Bob Kravitz, let's head to Tennessee. Jim Wyatt of the Tennessean joining us. Jim, what's the plan at quarterback? Is it Zach Mettenberger, or is there someone else out there?
Well, Zach Mettenberger is what I've been hearing all along this offseason. But I did hear, you know, after the combine that they did like Marcus Mariota. They're certainly going to do all the homework they possibly can on him, including going to his pro day and bringing him to Nashville for a visit. I was thinking, a couple of weeks ago, the first couple of months, that Mettenberger's a slam dunk. But I am going to keep my mind open to Mariota more based on what I've heard as far as feedback about him, what they think about him, and we'll just see whether he can build up enough momentum to change their minds here. Because I do think, heading into the offseason, I think they felt like Mettenberger's the guy, and that still may end up being the case, but certainly they're open to everything at this point.
He's Jim White of the Tennessean. Real quickly, Jim, which of the Pittsburgh defenders who played for Dick LeBeau most likely to come?
Jason World's the most attractive of all those guys. With him, along with a lot of other guys, as they're finding out, he could come with a big price tag that could take him elsewhere. And if he goes elsewhere, then, you've got to consider, some other guys that that play for LeBeau, whether it's like Taylor or James Harrison. Those are guys down the road. World's is the most attractive of all of those players. And along with Brandon Graham and Brian Arapco, he's one of the guys that they're targeting. They need edge rushers. They need a pass rusher in that 3-4 defense, and that's why he is the most attractive as far as most likely. I guess that remains on the money and other depends on the money and the other teams involved.
Thanks, Jim. And now we're going to head back down to Florida. Mike Dempsey covers the Jaguars. He has Jaguars Today on 1010XL. Who are the Jaguars going to give their money to tomorrow?
Oh, apparently they'd like to give their money to Julius Thomas first and foremost, Mike. Jared Odrick looks like that's a done deal. And Jeremy Parnell, of course, none of these are done deals, if we know that, right? No NFL team would negotiate with a player during the non-negotiating window. But those are the three main guys, and I think there's a lot of hope in Jacksonville that DeMarco Murray might be in the crosshairs too.
Anyone else out there that we're not thinking of that we should be thinking of?
I don't know if there's a big name guy out there. Certainly they might be interested in pass rush. Wouldn't be surprised if Worlds is on their radar screen. But look, they need free safety help, and they're going to let the market settle down. There's nobody close to McCourty in terms of value out there. So I think they'll look in about a week to see what's left out there in that department. They need a starting outside linebacker as well. I'd like to see them take a shot at Bruce Carter. I haven't heard anything to indicate that they definitely will, but that might be a kind of guy to keep an eye on.
Owner Shad Khan's been very patient with the current regime. Does the heat get turned up a little bit this year?
Well, I mean, yes and no. You can't go 3-13 again, but he's not going to put a number of victories on there. There's got to be improvement, and I think they feel like the roster is going to be better just simply from progression with some of the young guys. But if they're able to go out there and secure three, maybe even four starters in free agency, they've got to improve, Mike. They've got to at least double that win total, hopefully a lot more. I'd like to see them in contention at least for a wild card in early December. I think most Jaguar fans would be happy with that.
All right, Mike, thanks. And we're going to squeeze in Bob Kravitz of WTHR before we hit the hard break at the top of the hour. Bob, what are the Colts going to do with their money? Apparently they're ready to spend.
Yeah, they got $43 million under the cap. So, they haven't gone after any of the big fish so far, but Trent Cole has come in. I'm hearing rumors that Nick Fairley might be on their radar. So, they already signed Todd Herrmann's to give them some depth on that offensive line. So they haven't done anything yet. It's been pretty quiet, but I think before the week is out, the Colts will have a couple new players.
Any chance they make a run at DeMarco Murray?
I get the sense that they probably would try and draft running back. This is a real running back deep draft, or it's deep in that area. So I think that's where they would likely go and use free agency to shore up the defense. But who knows what Ryan Grigson is thinking at this point.
Great stuff as always, Bob. We'll be talking to you again down the road. We'll be checking out your stuff at WTHR.
All right, thank you.
All right, and that's the AFC South done. We made it halfway through the league. Is it halfway through the league? Stats, help me out here. We got four more to do or three more to do?
We've got three more to do.
Three more to do. So that's five. That's more than half. Well, we're working our way through getting you ready for free agency, which officially begins at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday, unofficially began at noon on Saturday, and unofficially went haywire on Sunday afternoon with the news of the Ndamukong Suh deal to Miami. I think the league slammed the door on that. We'll talk more about that coming up. We got three more divisions to get you ready for. We'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio right after this. Hour number three on this Monday, March 9, one day before the start of free agency. We are working our way through every division with at least one person covering every team, joining the program to give us all the latest on what that team may be doing. It's NFC West time. And let's start with Matt Maiocco of CSN Bay Area. We know that Justin Smith and Patrick Willis are calling it quits. Why is Patrick Willis done after a career that ultimately lasted seven seasons?
Well, I think the main thing is, from what I understand, he didn't love it anymore. He wasn't having fun. And so he has a lot of outside interest. He's done a good job of saving his money, so it's not like he needs the pay. I think he's kind of had an epiphany that he wants to do more with his life. He wants to impact lives outside of football. And let's face it, if a guy at age 30 can get out of the game and not have any financial concerns and can get out with a healthy body and his head fully ready to tackle the rest of his life, more power to him. So it certainly seems like he's having no second thoughts about this. From what I understand, he was ready to make this announcement last week, and will probably end up making it tomorrow.
He's Matt Maiocco of CSN Bay Area. Any flicker, any spark at the heart of this smoke that the 49ers would trade Colin Kaepernick?
I don't believe so. I mean, based on talks that I've had with people in the weeks and months leading up to this, they feel like they have an extreme talent that doesn't come along too often. And from what I understand, through the whole coaching process, one of the things that they were very set on trying to do was find people on the offensive side of the ball that could maximize Colin Kaepernick's talent. So it was surprising when I heard it. You never really know what's going on behind the scenes, but from what I gather, the 49ers don't have any interest in trading Colin Kaepernick. That doesn't mean that other teams haven't called them, but from what I understand, the 49ers have never even considered trading him at this point, 1 year into that contract that he signed.
Great stuff, Matt. Now we're going to head up to Seattle. Bob Condotta, the Seattle Times, covers the Seahawks, who made a big splash on Friday, increasing Marshawn Lynch's compensation package from up to $7 million to $12 million. For 2015. What's next for the Seahawks after convincing Lynch to play at least one more year?
Well, I think big picture, it's extending Russell Wilson and maybe Bobby Wagner. I'm not sure that's something that's going to happen immediately. So, they'll sniff around free agency. Their MO during the Snyder-Carroll era, other than in 2013, has been mostly to sort of sit back and let the first wave sort of get taken care of and then try to find some bargains at the end, because they really feel like their overall core is pretty good and they just need to sort of fill in some holes here and there. So I would expect that to sort of, I don't know that they'll make a big ticket free agent splash here over the next day or two. It might be later in the week when, it filters out a little bit and they try to get some of those maybe plan B type guys.
He's Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times. The Seahawks have found plenty of receivers after the draft ends with undrafted guys like Jermaine Kearse and Doug Baldwin. Any chance they go bargain shopping for any of these veteran receivers will be available?
Yeah, I would think that makes a lot of sense. Obviously, with trading Percy Harvin last year, the receiving core is not quite what it looked like in 2013 when you had both Harvin and Tate there, and you thought maybe your long term future is you build around one or at least one of those guys as your number one receiver going forward. Paul Richardson is injured, had the ACL injury. We don't know for sure when he'll be back next season. So I definitely would not be surprised at all if they did that.
Great stuff, Bob. Now we're going to head to the heartland. Jim Thomas covers the St. Louis Post covers the Rams for the St. Louis Post Dispatch. And Jim, the question continues to be, even though the Rams have answered it, who's the quarterback going to be? Do we still think it's going to be Sam Bradford?
Yeah, I still do, and partly for the reason that you look around at the options, and the options are just so limited, both in the draft and free agency. I would expect them to draft someone, and who knows if someone like Fitzpatrick comes free from the Houston Texans, which now looks like a possibility. If they are going to indeed sign Mallett and Hoyer, maybe someone like him they'd be interested in. But, they certainly have to do something. They've got to get another body who's more than just a body in there because of the injury factor with Sam Bradford. So that's something that I'm sure they'll be working on in the weeks and months ahead as we go through free agency and get to the draft.
He's Jim Thomas, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Jake Long, left tackle. He was a big acquisition a couple of years ago. Feels like it's just a matter of time before that's over.
Well, you've got, they don't have a lot of cap space right now, but they can easily create a lot of cap space. And I would guess by the end of this week, another shoe or two are going to drop. By the fifth day of the league year, which would be, what, the 14th of March here at the end of this week, $4 million of Jake Long's signing bonus, of his base salary is guaranteed for next year. Also, with Scott Wells, the center, $1 million, he gets a $1 million roster bonus the third day of the league year, which I guess would be March the 12th. So they've got to decide on these guys real quick. I would tend to think that Long will be a cap cut. You know, I could be wrong. Maybe with Joe Barksdale, their starting right tackle the last 2 years, looks like he's out the door. Maybe they may change their mind, but that just seems like a lot of money for Jake Long, what he would be making. His cap count would be over $10 million if he stayed with the team. So I don't think he's long for the Rams.
He's Jim Thomas of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Anybody else we should be keeping an eye on that the Rams may try to pursue?
Well, they've got to get a right guard from somewhere, or a guard. That's their minimum need on the offensive line. And they have had some talks with Justin Blaylock of the Atlanta Falcons, who was recently released. It looks like they're not going to be in the mix on any of these top guys, these guards. I thought Orlando Franklin might be a possibility. It looks like he's in San Diego. And it doesn't look like they're in at this point on Mike Iupati, who they Rams really respect. They've had a lot of games with him where he's wreaked some havoc. But again, looks like they're not going to go for those front first tier or most expensive type guys.
Great stuff, Jim. Thanks for some of your time, pal.
You bet. Take care.
All right. Do we have Kent Summers? No, we don't have Kent Summers. All right. So it's time. It's the first time. It's our sixth division. This is our first pothole. So now I'm going to talk about the Arizona Cardinals, unless we get Kent Summers or someone else here in the next couple of minutes. I think that the Arizona Cardinals are the primary player for Adrian Peterson. If Peterson decides he is not going to return to the Vikings, if the Vikings can't talk him out of his decision, if the Vikings decide not to throw even more money on the pile to get him to stay, I think the Cardinals are the team to watch. The Cardinals are the destination most likely at this point for Adrian Peterson, although there would be other teams in the mix. We could see the Colts get involved. The Cowboys, I think, not as likely as we would have believed. And I think we believed the Cowboys were very interested because of that phone call last year reported by Don Van Natta of ESPN from Adrian Peterson to somebody who was with Jerry Jones. Jones got the phone. Peterson told Jones how he'd like to play for the Cowboys. Jones said, "We're talking pig Latin here," because he knew he could get in trouble. And it looks like Peterson's not going to be a guy that the Cowboys make the investment for because they believe they don't need a great running back. They have a great offensive line, a great passing game. They can pay less to have somebody who moves the chains. The Cardinals are the team to watch, and boy, that would vault them up into the upper levels of the NFC if they weren't there already. You give them a healthy Carson Palmer. You've got some great young receivers. You've got Larry Fitzgerald sticking around for a couple of years. The defense needs to be reconfigured a little bit with Todd Bowles gone, but the Cardinals could be very, very interesting if they end up swinging a deal for Adrian Peterson. I have a feeling this isn't something that's going to linger for very long. I have a feeling that this is just a question of Peterson making it known to the Vikings that he really does want out. The Vikings trying their best to, at a minimum, save face. I think the Vikings need to be able to face the fan base and say, "We did everything we could to keep this guy around, and he ultimately decided he wanted to leave. And what are we supposed to do? Yeah, he's under contract, but we don't want him here if he doesn't want to be here. Doesn't help anybody if he doesn't want to be here, but we're forcing him to be here. We're not forcing you to be here. We appreciate you being here. We appreciate you being part of the program as we continue to get through every division in anticipation of the start of free agency tomorrow. Two divisions left to go. We'll continue with the AFC West after the break. This is PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. We're going to wait through hour number three trying to get you ready for free agency by getting an update from someone who covers every single NFL team. This segment, AFC West, let's go straight to San Diego. Our buddy Kevin Acey covers the Chargers for UT San Diego. Percy Harvin may be available. I've heard the Chargers are a team to watch. You think the Chargers would be interested?
They're interested in another receiver. Can't speak specifically to Percy Harvin in terms of anybody in the Chargers that would actually know, but they would love to have him. They think they can handle anybody in that locker room. Jacoby Jones, that's great, deep threat, but that is really you know, got the special teams component to it where the Chargers desperately needed help and have for a while. I think that, sure, any team where Phillip Rivers is your guy setting the tone, they can handle a guy like Percy Harvin and clearly the talent, and they need it. They need to upgrade at receiver.
Third-year GM Tom Telesco seems to be ready to move on from a more deliberate strategy and really jump in. Who are his top targets as free agency approaches?
I would say that he got them. You got to remember that still a Bill Polian disciple. He has landed Orlando Franklin. He got his two guys, Brandon Flowers and King Dunlap. Look, I'm not going to rule anything out anymore here in San Diego, where I happen to be in spring training right now, and A.J. Preller has rebuilt the Padres. He's redefined for us what we can expect. But I think that Tom Telesco has pretty much made his big splash, especially as you see some of the guys that maybe you'd heard they were interested in, pass rushers, defensive linemen, come off you know, already in this unofficial free agency period. Gosh, it feels like free agency is already over, doesn't it, Mike?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But I would say that this, because like I said, you do have to remember that he's still a Bill Polian disciple.
Great stuff as always, Kevin. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. Now we're going to head up the coast to Oakland, where Vic Tafer covers the Raiders for the San Francisco Chronicle. Vic, does anybody want their money?
Well, yeah, sure. Rodney Hudson does. I think that's the first big signing, our first agreement. So I think, you know, obviously they wanted to get either Sue or Cobb. It didn't work out, but they're still going to spend it on someone, so.
And how close were they to getting Sue?
I'm not sure how close they were. They were definitely in on the bidding. I think they had a price in mind. Obviously, he was going to go to the highest bidder, and that wasn't them. But I think they definitely wanted him, and they were involved. But obviously, Miami paid more.
I was talking to Peter King yesterday as we talked to Vic Tafer of the San Francisco Chronicle. Peter thinks that, hey, maybe the Raiders will just go crazy and give DeMarco Murray a ton of money. Any chance of that happening?
I can't see it. I think there's still some, you know, the feeling in the locker room and the clubhouse and up top is Latavius Murray to be the guy. I think they might want to bring a guy in to help him out, a veteran guy or a running back in the draft. I can't see DeMarco Murray being that guy.
Vic, great stuff, buddy. And now we are going to head on to Therese Paylor of the Kansas City Star covering the Chiefs. How did they get this deal done, well, unofficially done, with Jeremy Maclin? Hello, Therese.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So how did they get the deal done with Jeremy Maclin?
Hey, look, I think this is something that Andy Reid wanted to do for a while. I know that obviously he drafted Maclin, but hey, he still liked the kid. I knew that last year. The question was whether or not they were going to be able to create enough money to get him done under the cap. They got a lot of money under the cap next year, but this year is a little tighter. But it looks like they've been able to work some things around and get him in there.
He's Therese Paylor, the Kansas City Star. Any other receivers possibly joining a crew that had no receiving touchdowns last year?
Yeah, people love to recite that stat, don't they? Myself included. No, look, I think you got to pay attention. You know, Drew Rosenhaus said that Chiefs are interested in Brian Hartline. Right now, at this point, they're going to have to be looking for an X receiver, a big body possession guy, somebody that can complement Maclin, who's the big play guy at the Z. I think Hartline would be a nice fit as an X receiver. But at this point, the nice thing about Landon Maclin, you don't necessarily have to overspend on somebody you're not crazy about. You got Maclin. I think they like Albert Wilson, who's a young get kid they have. And in the draft, you don't have to reach on a receiver either. You can select from a nice crop of second-round guys that can fit what they do.
He's Therese Paylor of the Kansas City Star. When free agency opens tomorrow afternoon, teams will be allowed to negotiate with linebacker Justin Houston. If they sign him to an offer sheet and the Chiefs don't match, it's two first-round picks. Any chance that Houston is actually going to attract interest under that formula that would require two first-round picks going to Kansas City?
Oh, heck, Mike, I should ask you that, man. No, I'm just kidding. Look, man, I think, you know, I think if you look at that situation, he's not even 26. I mean, he's a 26-year-old pass rusher who's about to enter his prime. You know, this is something that hasn't happened in 15 years. But if it would happen, it'd be with a guy like Houston, right? 22 sack season, in his prime, the hard worker, all that. If you're a team, that needs like some instant juice immediately, and you're worried about whether you're going to even be there in the next 2 years, you should consider putting you know, making an offer sheet to him. I would have to at least think, if I'm Atlanta, I would like to at least have to consider it. Pioli drafted him. They need a pass rusher bad. And I'm not crazy about the options they might have at 8. You know, they're trying to win now. They got Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. They've shown a willingness to give up a lot for somebody they really want with Julio. You know, I still think it's a remote chance, but if anybody could attract an offer sheet, it's a guy like Houston.
Hey, great stuff, buddy. Thanks for some of your time. That was Terrez Paylor, Kansas City star. Now let's head back to Denver as we crisscross the contiguous United States. We don't have Vic Lombardi. No Vic Lombardi. Vic Lombardi. Come on, Vic. Call us up. Denver Broncos. And you know what? Maybe we don't need Vic Lombardi because the Broncos aren't going to do anything. They can't do anything. They've got money tied up in guys they already have. We mentioned last week that this year, Von Miller's total cash and cap burden goes from about $3 million up to $9.75 million. Receiver Demaryius Thomas under the franchise tag goes from about $3 million to nearly $13 million. At $4 million, they cleared up by restructuring Peyton Manning's contract. Well, that ultimately means that they have the money and the cap space available to accommodate the guys that are already going to be there. They can't go out and make another splash this year. Their splash on defense was getting defensive coordinator Wade Phillips. And on offense, they're probably going to take some losses. They're going to have to readjust on the fly, and they're going to have to hope that they can hold it together, find a way to upgrade, find a way to get farther in 2015 than they did in 2014. This is it for Peyton Manning. I'd be shocked if he's back in 2016. I think the goal is to have an outcome to his career other than losing at home to the Colts. And we have Vic. Hey, Vic, I've been filibustering. I don't think the Broncos are going to do anything in free agency, are they?
Well, they're not going to shop at Neiman Marcus this year. They've shopped top scale for the last 3 years. This year it's more Walmart or Walgreens discount shop.
Any names that you're watching?
Kendall Langford is a defensive tackle, certainly in the running for him. They'd love to re-sign Virgil Green, their own tight end. Beyond that, there's going to be piecemeal stuff on the offensive line. No big names for the Denver Broncos. They just don't have the funds.
Any chance Wes Welker's back or that's done?
There's a chance. It has to be for a reduced rate, obviously. He wants to play 2 more years. And Gary Kubiak could see him as a good fit here. So I would not put that out of the question whatsoever.
They're not even talking to Julius Thomas at this point, are they?
No. I mean, he's pretty much outpriced the Denver Broncos. Jacksonville plays for him. They offered him something in the season or before the season, but they can't contend with what Jacksonville has on the table. There's no way.
Hey, Vic, thanks for making some time for us. I know you got a lot going on. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, Mike.
There he is, Vic Lombardi, CBS 4 and 104.3, the Fan in Denver. That's the AFC West. We have one division left, and we haven't given up on getting an Arizona Cardinals correspondent. That's the one pothole that we've hit so far as we've gone through 28 teams. We're 27 for 28, not a bad batting average. We're going to try to go 31 for 32. We're going to try to go 32 for 32. We'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio after this. Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Radio is built by the Home Depot. Let's do floors that impress for less. The Home Depot has quality tile, carpet, laminate, hardwood, and vinyl flooring, all at guaranteed low prices, and don't worry about the installation. The Home Depot also offers start-to-finish installation by flooring professionals who will get the job done right. Visit homedepot.com/flooring for details. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. One more division to go, 7 down, 1 to go. We're finishing up. And I would say last but not least, but really right now the NFC South is the least division in the NFL. The folks who cover the NFC South are not the least, and among the not the least, our good friend Ira Kaufman of the Tampa Tribune. Ira, by the way, Derek Brooks said don't be promising space in his house for Jameis Winston. He's got four girls. He doesn't have room for Jameis Winston.
I've been going a little too strong on that Brooks angle, although, you know, I think he will play a part in trying to show young Winston how to be a professional. But as far as him going into his house, I'm off that. I'm backing off that.
All right, that's good. Well, Ira, are you backing off the idea that the Buccaneers are going to go quarterback? And does it seem more likely now that it's going to be Jameis Winston?
You know, this is either the greatest smokescreen ever seen in these parts going into an NFL draft, or they're really very close to making a decision on Winston. I think it's the latter. You got the first pick. There's no reason for all this gamesmanship
Even their own website, you know, has got video of Winston visiting Buck Place. They usually don't do that kind of stuff. So I think they're trying to gauge a little bit of public reaction to them taking Winston. I think it's almost basically a done deal at this point.
He's Ira Kaufman of the Tampa Tribune. That begs the question, what's the reaction been to all this talk about Winston to the Bucks?
I think it's mixed. I think there's going to be some pushback with his checkered past. But most Buck fans, I got to tell you, they're so desperate for a relevant team, for a winning team. You know, they haven't won a playoff game since they beat the Raiders in that Super Bowl. That's eons ago. They're an afterthought. They're a last-place team 4 years in a row in the NFC South. So if Winston can play a little bit and gives them some hope for the future, I think all's going to be forgiven for Winston.
He's Ira Kaufman of the Tampa Tribune. Okay, the Bucks have been fairly active in free agency recently. I'm told they're going to spend. Who are they going to spend it on?
Well, they do have money to spend, but I'll say this. The sad part for Buck fans, you know, a year later, they're still looking for the same things they were looking for in 2014. A rough tackle that can protect the blind side, and a pass-rushing defensive end. Look, they whiffed on Michael Johnson and Anthony Collins. I don't expect them to do business with the Cincinnati Bengals in the near future after those disasters. And here they are, looking for a left tackle and a right defensive end. Maybe Trent Cole, you know, I think they brought him in quickly. I think they'll be in the ball game, but there's other suitors for Trent Cole. And we'll see what happens at left tackle. I think the pickings are slim in free agency. Normally don't get guys like that in free agency. They might have to go for the draft. But here they are. You know, that's what happens when you don't make good personnel decisions. Year after year, you're looking for the same things and trying to make up for draft mistakes. So here they are.
Great stuff as always, Ira. We'll talk to you soon. Let's hop up to Atlanta. D. Orlando Ledbetter covers the Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. What are the tea leaves suggesting his free agency approach? Is spending or waiting it out and getting some bargains?
They're value shopping, Mike. They're not at Nordstrom's this year. They're at Nordstrom's Rack.
Who do you think that they think is going to be there when it's time to start spending less money than maybe they've spent in the past?
Derek Morgan's a candidate. Jason Worlds, Arthur Moat, Ron Parker. They've already been linked to him. Also, Brooks Reed, the Texan, is one of the guys that they believe will come in and help them as they try to improve the league's worst defense.
On the offensive side of the ball, as we continue with D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Dan Quinn, the new head coach, has sung the praises of Devontae Freeman. Steven Jackson's gone. Is Freeman the running back, or do they have something up their sleeve at that position?
No, they have to get somebody else. I don't think there's anybody in the free agent market, but certainly there's a lot of talented runners in the draft that'll fit the outside zone scheme. Kyle Shanahan was with the Redskins, they picked Alfred Morris in the sixth round, so they know they could find a running back to go and compliment Freeman. I don't believe he can carry the whole load, or at least staff last year didn't believe he can carry the load by himself, but the general manager believes he can be a full-time back.
Yeah, the Shanahans have a knack for finding great running backs late in the draft. Terrell Davis, Alfred Morris, etc. Orlando, thanks for some of your time. Now we'll bounce over to North Carolina for a chat with Joe Person of the Charlotte Observer, covers the Carolina Panthers. Ted Ginn is back with the team. Who's next on the Panthers' to-do list?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mike. They probably need some secondary help. I think they're in the draft. They're going to go after another offensive tackle. But they got some work to do with some of their own guys, too. I think they'd like to bring back DeJuan Edwards, veteran defensive tackle. And a guy that I think they're not going to be able to bring back is number two tight end, Ed Dixon. Didn't do a lot here last year, but kind of a versatile guy. Kind of came on late in the season, and I understand he's getting a decent amount of interest outside of Carolina.
He's Joe Person of the Charlotte Observer. Some big-name veteran free agent receivers on the market this year. Could you see the Panthers making a play for an Andre Johnson or a Dwayne Bowe?
It doesn't seem like those would be the kind of guys they would go after, given Gettleman's history. For one, those are kind of big-bodied receivers in kind of in the same mold as Kelvin Benjamin. I do get the impression that they wouldn't mind getting more of a fast guy. They just signed one in Ted Ginn, I understand, but I think everybody understands Ginn is probably more of a number three receiver. The guy I've mentioned a couple times, and this guy isn't necessarily a burner anymore. Gettleman went out last year and got a couple guys with NFC South backgrounds. I wonder about Lance Moore potentially being a fit for the Carolina Panthers.
Last one with Joe Person of the Charlotte Observer. Anybody else we should be keeping an eye on that maybe the Panthers can lure to town, offensive line or elsewhere?
There was some rumblings online last night that they were kicking the tires on Derek Morgan. I don't think that's necessarily I don't think that's imminent necessarily. Dave Gettleman was, as you know, spent all those years with the Giants where they every year they would go ahead and overstock again on pass rushers. So it would not shock me, especially with them losing Greg Hardy, for them to go out and get an edge rusher, whether it's Morgan or somebody else.
Where do you think Hardy's going to end up?
I don't know. I heard you on the phone with D. Orlando. I know I know Panthers fans are completely scared that he's going to end up in this division playing for the Falcons against the Panthers twice a year. But I know Dallas needs an edge rusher. Oakland's got a lot of money to spend, as you know. I just know he's not going to be in Charlotte after another week or so.
Joe, great stuff, buddy. We'll talk soon. And now we're going to wrap up the NFC South, heading down to New Orleans. Jeff Duncan covers the Saints for the New Orleans Times-Picayune. Mark Ingram, 4 years, $16 million. Not bad for a guy who's never had a 1,000-yard season. What was the thought process in bringing him back for that kind of money?
Well, Mike, I think the Saints like the fit in the offense and the progress that Mark Ingram showed a year ago. He was an alternate for the Pro Bowl, first back since Deuce McAllister, first Saints back, but since Deuce McAllister to go to the Pro Bowl. And I think they just are in the process right now of trying to identify other priorities, and running back just is one now they don't have to worry about. They know he knows the offense, and now their perimeter skill position group is pretty much back intact, Mike, because they're going to bring back Marcus Colston. So I think they're looking at other areas that they need to upgrade, and those were areas that they liked from a year ago.
He's Jeff Duncan in the New Orleans Times-Picayune. How are they going to be able to upgrade on defense when they've got limited cap space to deal with?
Well, they're going to have to make some hard cuts. I wouldn't be surprised if Curtis Lofton or David Hawthorne, maybe even Ben Grubbs, a couple of veteran guys that have been core players for this team, were cap casualties here in the next 24 hours. They can get down to the cap pretty easily by converting some of these roster bonuses to signing bonuses. That's not going to be the problem. It's going to be getting below there to be able to upgrade, like you said. And I think we're going to see a couple of big names fall by the wayside here in the next 24 hours.
One guy that isn't going to be gone is Drew Brees. But why do I get the sense that they're tiptoeing around his contract and not trying to extend it and knock down his cap number?
I think they want to wait and see, Mike. I think they saw him plateau a little bit a year ago, and I think they will do that after next season. But I think they want to evaluate him another year. It doesn't do him a lot of good this year to extend him out. I think they're probably wise by seeing how he plays next year. If they can upgrade that offensive line, especially along the interior, that'll give them a better read on Drew Brees going forward at the age of 36.
Hey, Jeff, great stuff as always, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right, Mike. Take care.
There he is, Jeff Duncan, New Orleans Times-Picayune. NFC South, done. 31 of 32 teams, done. And we missed one, but we're going to rectify that when we return. The one team that we missed is the one team for whom Adrian Peterson could be playing if he doesn't play for the Minnesota Vikings. We will finish our team-by-team, city-by-city tour of the NFL one day before the start of free agency. When we return, this is PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, we'll get better parts, better prices every day because we have the parts you need to get the job done right. From batteries, belts, and brakes to tape, tools, and workwear, O'Reilly Auto Parts is the only shop you need. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com to learn more. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So it was an ambitious assignment, and it's always easy to make the assignment when you're not the one who has to fulfill the assignment. When I asked Rob Stats-Guerrera and Kristen Coleman to line up one guest per team for the day before the official start of free agency, One guest per team to get us up to speed on what each team is thinking, what each team is doing, what each team is planning. And I am proud to report that they have gotten now all 32 teams covered, because although we missed the Cardinals earlier, we have lined up our good friend Mike Jarecki of Fox Sports 910 to get us the latest on the team that looked to have the inside track to a Super Bowl berth before they got down to the third quarterback last year. And Mike joins us now. The quarterback situation will be fine if Carson Palmer's healthy. I'm intrigued by the possibilities at the running back position. Do you think the Cardinals will make a play for Adrian Peterson?
I do. It's going to have to be, you know, obviously on their circumstances. Don't know what he's looking for in the first couple of years of the contract. And, you know, when it comes to compensation, I just don't see the Cardinals giving up a top three round pick. It could be maybe a four or something latter, but I know they have interest. It's just a matter of circumstances.
He's Mike Jarecki of Fox Sports 910. One of the reasons they can afford Adrian Peterson is Larry Fitzgerald did a contract that freed up $13 million in cap space this year. What do you expect his role to be?
Well, Larry's got to stay healthy. He had the MCL, you know, sprain last year. He missed a few games, had a hamstring issue a couple years ago. You know, clearly he would like to be that guy that they throw the ball down the field to, but that has become Michael Floyd and obviously John Brown in Bruce Arians' offense. So, you know, he's going to play in the slot. He's learned all three wide receiver positions. But I just have his presence on the field, Mike. Last year when they went to Seattle late in the year, that was one of the games he missed, and they really changed their coverage there. They really didn't respect or think that Michael Floyd can beat him down the field. So just having him on the field, I think he's great on third downs, good in the red zone, good on the fade route. I don't know if he's going to put up the numbers he put in previous years, but he's going to have to score more than two touchdowns he did a year ago. But he's got to stay healthy. But I still think if Carson's in there, he's kind of a safety net. I wouldn't say he's a glorified tight end, but they definitely like to work the slot in the first down sticks for Larry Fitzgerald.
He's Mike Jarecki of Fox Sports 910 here talking Cardinals. How do they place defensive lineman Darnell Dockett?
Well, it's going to have to be by committee. They drafted Ed Stinson last year. They like his upside. He was on IR towards the end of the year with a toe injury. They still have Frosty Rucker under contract, and we'll see if they decide to bring in Tommy Kelly. That was a late signing last year in August, so he's probably one of those guys that really doesn't want to participate in offseason workouts. And they're still looking at some interior linemen. Clearly, they're going to lose Dan Williams in free agency. He played in 37% of the snaps last year. They consider him a part-time player coming off his rookie deal, making $2.1 million. There's a market out there for him, whether it's the Redskins or the Lions or a team that plays a 4-3, where he can command between $3.5 and $4 million. So I know there's interest in Jarvis Jenkins from the Redskins. Looks like Steven Pyatt could be leaning with Washington. So it looks like they're going to try to address it either in free agency, but also it wouldn't surprise me if they went into the draft. But getting Frosty Rucker back for another year and then obviously having the development of Ed Stinson, it could be by committee, and we'll see what they decide to do with Tommy Kelly.
Hey, Mike, thanks for some of your time on short notice. We appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Mike. Take care.
There he is, Mike Jarecki, Fox Sports 910. And now we are done. All 32 teams, you've gotten your update. You've gotten the latest. You'll continue to get the latest if you go to profootballtalk.com around the clock. And I mean 24-hour-a-day coverage once we get to the actual start of free agency. 4 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow, we're going to go around the clock, at least one person on duty every hour of every day until, I mean, not that many days, until it all slows down, usually on Thursday. But it's not going to slow down for a while. These rumors of Colin Kaepernick aren't going to go away. The cat's out of the bag. This is the new Jim Harbaugh distraction for the 49ers. And as we bring in Rob Stats Guerrero, the in-house 49ers fan, someone raised a great point with me today. Torrey Smith does not fit with Colin Kaepernick. Torrey Smith is a deep ball runner. Colin Kaepernick can't throw the deep ball. Torrey Smith runs the deep route. He doesn't run the other routes. There's some issues with his hands from time to time. Kaepernick can't take advantage of him. And it's going to be no different than Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis stretches the field, and he's disappeared the last couple of years. So it makes people think if the 49ers want Torrey Smith, maybe they don't want Colin Kaepernick.
Well, I don't know about that. I think Vernon Davis' disappearance has to do with Vernon Davis more than anything else. Kaepernick did struggle to throw the deep ball last season, but, I mean, look at the receivers he was throwing to. Vernon Davis is the only one of those that has any speed whatsoever. I mean, Anquan Boldin runs in place practically. So I don't know how much it had to do with the wide receivers, but I will agree, last year, Cap did not look good throwing the deep ball.
Over-under on the number of years Kaepernick's still with the 49ers.
The over-under is 2. I'll take the under. I think he gets next year, and then he's done.
One more year. I'll put it at 1.5, and I'll take the under as well. Hopefully it's the over for the number of people who join us tomorrow. Free agency begins at 4 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. We got 3 hours of PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio tomorrow at noon Eastern to get you ready. Check us out around the clock at ProFootballTalk.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a good one. See you tomorrow.